It's exciting to be in God's presence today, and I know it's rainy outside. Somebody said to me it's gloomy outside, but we know it's not gloomy on the inside on what God wants to do. We won't receive that, so we're going to receive just the excitement of being in God's presence today. How many times in life have you made decisions based on weighing the options, right? You make decisions based on weighing the options. Your car breaks down. You know it's getting older. You're not sure with the miles on it that are racking up and whether you should fix it. The mechanic tells you it's going to cost quite a bit to fix it, and you're trying to make those decisions. So you begin to weigh the options, don't you? You weigh the options, and you think, well, fixing it is still cheaper than a car payment. Fixing it is still cheaper than probably any car I can find today. I can't buy another used car at the price that it's going to cost for the repair. It's not the vehicle that it used to be. But before it broke down, it was still getting me from point A to point B. And so then you weigh the options, and then you start weighing those against other thoughts like, well, the vehicle is almost 20 years old. It's got rust on the back fender that's growing. It's got over 200,000 miles on it. And even if I fix it, it won't take care of the half a dozen other things that's wrong with it. It takes care of this problem. What if I use what I pay to fix it and then something else breaks down on it? I could put that money into another used car, but if I do that, I might get a bunch of issues with that used car. And you keep weighing those options. Can I go without this car? Weighing the options. You see, I know about this weighing the option things on a car because Caroline and I just had to weigh those options with our old GMC van, Safari van that we have, and we made the decision to have it repaired and hopeful that we might get another 100,000 out of it, maybe 50,000, even 20,000. I hate to tell you this. I had this illustration in the sermon, and it broke down again last night. It's sitting dead at the shop right now. I have to wait and talk to them this week, and I'm just hoping and praying that this is the problem that was wrong before and you guys just didn't get it right or something like that, so that it's not going to cost something else. But weighing options can be really hard sometimes, can't they? Not knowing sure what to do. And what is it that you're looking for when you're weighing the options? You're looking for which choice will benefit you the most. You're looking for the best choice for the best return of your life in that moment and in your moments to come. We've spent the summer, friends, looking at the good sense of the Proverbs that tell us the way that we ought to live and the ways that we ought to make our choices. But do you know what weighing options based on good sense comes down to? What it comes down to is it comes down to the benefits of God's good sense, what they will bring us. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6 says. It says, "One who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead." One who wanders away from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. Friends, I didn't just come up with the term good sense for this series. That's what it's called in the Proverbs. They're called the good sense. God calls them that. He identifies them as such. And as we weigh our options with this good sense, we learn that straying away from that, God's good sense, leads you to rest in the assembly of the dead. They're called good sense because they're good. They're good, everything about them is good, and so if we live into them, the benefits that we receive will be very good. When you weigh good sense against bad sense in your life, make sure that you take a hard look at the benefits of your impending choices. Whether it benefits you is good or it's a bad benefit, that's not really a benefit, I guess, a consequence, because who would choose bad as their return? Nobody would want to choose bad as your return. Did we make the right choice in our old van? I'm starting to wonder now. I don't know if we did or not. We'll only know in time. It's already started some new things, so we'll see what it does if we can get it running again. And some decisions that we weigh, they're like that, aren't they? They're not very clear, and we may not make the right choice. However, what's very, very, very clear is that God's good sense is never taking a risk. Going God's way and his sense is never taking a risk. It always brings benefit to your life. What we're going to do this morning to wrap up this series is I'm going to fairly quickly take us through 10 benefits. 10 benefits that following God's good sense can bring to us. because that's what it comes down to. We're wrapping up the series. We've talked all about what we, how we live and those kind of things in this good sense. What is it going to bring to us? Here are 10 benefits. The first is this. Following good sense gives you peace. Peace. Now, who can't use a little more peace in our world today, right? Who can't use that? We've talked about this before. We've talked about peace some in this very series, but it still holds true that many, many people in the world live life afraid. They fear all kinds of things, not having enough money, living life alone, getting sick, not being liked or loved, not being accepted, not being enough, not looking good enough or pretty enough, making wrong choices, relationship failures, letting others down, letting God down, not being good enough, not accomplishing enough, getting hurt yet again, and the list goes on, doesn't it? Much of America lives afraid. They live in fear. Do you know what else I also believe? I believe that many, probably in this room or in the room this morning, earlier together, many of us live the same way. We live afraid and in fear. Do you know what God's good sense teaches us? Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. It says, "But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm." Untroubled by fear of harm. Wow, do you want that? Do you want that? Do you want to live in peace and not be troubled by the fear of harm? Do you want that? Who wouldn't want that? I want that. I want that. If you want that, then listen to and live by God's good sense. Make the decision today that you'll read every day from the book of Proverbs. There's one proverb for each day of the month. Read them, reread them, and then keep reading them for the rest of your life to learn the good sense of God. And as you do, they're going to become a part of your heart and your mind, and your decisions are going to begin to be steered by the good sense of God. As you keep bringing them into you and learning them, it's going to help steer you in the choices you make. And the more you live by them, the more that peace is going to come, and it's going to be oh so real. Oh so real. When you're living in the good sense of the Proverbs, you'll find that you can solve a majority of your problems because they teach you how to live in your relationships with your friends, your neighbors, and your associates. They teach you how to find and receive counsel. They teach you how to guard against fools, foolishness, and folly. They teach you where to find happiness. They teach you to live with honor. They teach you how to use your eyes in God's way. They teach you how to have a strong work ethic. They teach you right living and how to avoid evil living. They teach you to love God and hate what God hates. And they teach you about your very own heart. That's all the things we've talked about this summer from the Proverbs. Plus, they teach you much, much more. And it all leads to living in peace, untroubled by the fear of harm. I want that. Do you? Because I sure do. Second benefit is this. Following good sense brings you knowledge, wisdom, and common sense. Common sense. Listen, friends, some people who think they're smart and wise and think they have common sense aren't always as all that as they think they are. You're not born with those things. It may come easier for some. They may have a greater propensity towards certain types of knowledge, wisdom, and common sense, but you're not born a smart person. It may look like you're smarter than others. It's not true because knowledge, wisdom, and common sense can be measured differently depending on the situation, depending on the person. I don't need the most successful contestant on Jeopardy to fix my van. I don't want that. I want it to be the most knowledgeable mechanic who has the wisdom and common sense to tell me whether it's worth putting another penny in it or not. Is the Jeopardy contestant smarter than the guy who's the mechanic? No. In no way. They're smart in different ways. They're smart in different ways. There are people with every degree, every pedigree, every goatee, knock-knee, safari, church key, whatever E you have, who have all these credentials, who can't change a tire on a car, right? It's not good sense to exchange a doctor for a musician or an architect for a chef or a business manager for a freelance photographer. One's intelligence can't be delivered or discovered or known simply by tests and books alone. There's all kinds of smart, right? The good sense of knowledge, wisdom, and common sense that we're referring to, though, is heavenly. It's this God-given, and it can only be accrued by the Holy Spirit in your life and through time spent with God through his word, taught, read, and explored. Look at Proverbs 2, 1 through 8, and see more about this here. It says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. There's just so much good sense in those verses, friends. If we want the knowledge, the wisdom, the common sense that comes from heaven, then we've got to tune into it. We've got to treasure it as it is, as a treasure that it is. We need to seek it like we would a hidden treasure, because knowing how to make good choices and to live with good sense, it is a treasure. It is. When we find it, we have it, we understand what it means to fear the Lord, to really know what that means to revere and honor him. We gain knowledge. He grants wisdom, and we have a greater understanding on life. And God gives us real common sense that's based on honesty and integrity that protects us and our faithfulness to God. Friends, I've learned so much from the Proverbs. I've learned so much from this message series when God's been helping me to write it over the summer. I learned so much from it that I want it. The more I learn, the more I want God's good sense. I want this to be what steers my life. I don't want this to be a series in my heart, mind, and soul that just leaves when we're done with this. I don't want this to be a series that I conclude today and I walk away checking off the box of Proverbs. I got the Proverbs done and down and done. I want to stay in the Proverbs and let the good sense of that lead my decision on every level. Let me ask you, if you've been here on a semi-regular basis this summer for this series, or if you've watched at home on a regular basis, semi-regular basis, has it impacted your life? Have you learned new things about life? Raise your hand, or if you're home, at home, you can indicate it with a like on Facebook, but raise your hand if you've been learning something in this series. So practical stuff in the Proverbs. I think there's all kinds of knowledge, wisdom, and common sense in this series, and I know it's not because of me. It's because of the Proverbs, and it's because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think I've ever said this before in this way about a series, but for this one, I actually really encourage you to go back to our website and to watch these messages again. And to re-watch them. You'll realize the benefit of the knowledge, wisdom, and common sense of the Proverbs when you treasure them. When you treasure them, when you read them, when you explore them, and learn from them, and then live by them. That's when you realize the treasure. Benefit number three is this. Following good sense helps you know what's right so that you can make right choices. Helps you know what's right so you can make the right choices. How many times are you in a situation and you just don't know the right decision, right? You don't know the right choice to make. And you're not sure if you're what the right thing is to do. I face those situations on a regular basis. And sometimes it's hard to make a decision. Well, one benefit of knowing and following the good sense of God's word in the Proverbs is that they speak into a lot of your life situations already. Knowing integrity. So they speak into your situation so you know the choices. So like knowing integrity, if you do that, like the proverb says, helps you to make right choices. Living honest, telling the truth, treating others right, living in fear of the Lord, having a strong work ethic, understanding your heart. Those are all things that are taught in the Proverbs that guide you in making right decisions in those areas. That's, again, why you want to be in the Proverbs on a daily basis. Let me read further into the second part of this chapter, chapter 2 of Proverbs 9 through 11. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. You will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Friends, the more I read about it, the more I want it. If you invest into God's good sense, you're going to better know how to make right choices and right decisions. You're going to better understand it. Do you know why good coaches make their players run drills, the same drills over and over and over again, whether it's basketball, football, volleyball, whatever it is, they run those drills over and over. If you see the basketball team come out on the court in that pregame, they start by running the same drills every time they go out there to do that. They run the same kind of drills all the time at practice. Do you know why that is? It's so that when they're in the game, when it really matters, they're going to instinctively know how to play. How to move. They're going to know when to go left. They're going to know when to go right. Their brains and their bodies are going to connect. They're going to be conditioned to make the choices in the game when it matters. The coaches are instilling in them a pattern of play into these athletes. And the Proverbs, what they do, friends, is they instill a pattern of play into our lives. That's what they do. They instill us so when the things happen, if we're in the Proverbs, we know when to go left. We know when to go right because they're steering in us. A couple years ago, our Old Fort High School's cross-country coach, Tony, he caught me after our girls' practice. All three of our girls have run cross-country. Tony's been coaching there like 100 years, I think. Been coaching for a long time, and Tony came to me, and he asked if he could use the, he said, can we use the hills on your property for our practices? And of course, I said, yes. We want to do anything we can to partner with our school and to help them. But I have to admit to you, I kind of laughed inside a little bit when he called our lawn hills. See, we lived in Cincinnati before we were here, and if you've ever been in Cincinnati or lived near it, you might know they know it. It's known as the City of Seven Hills. And we see a lot of beauty in this part of the state, but when we looked around, and us and our family were like, I don't see any hills. It feels pretty flat to us. And so he called those hills, and that kind of surprised me a bit. But anyway, why did Coach Tony ask for the team to practice on our hills? Because in some of their meets, they've got to run on some rolling ground and some hills. And when they get into those meets, Tony wants them to be ready, right? To make the right choices in their step, pace, and balance. And God's word, God's good sense, that's what it does for us. It helps us to make the right choices in our step, pace, and balance of life. That's why we have to be in them, practicing them. Proverbs 3:6 says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. He's going to show us the way to go. Benefit 4 is this, following good sense gives you confidence. Proverbs 14:26 tells us this, the fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. I've learned over the years that true confidence is really hard to come by. Ego comes easily. Pride is common practice. Conceit is contagious. But real confidence, I found that's kind of rare. Ego is often confused as confidence, being louder than the rest, acting sure of yourself, not budging on your opinion. They're all mistaken often for confidence. But I assure you that sometimes the biggest conceit is the loudest and the quietest in the room is the one with the most confidence. Conceit and egotism have the smallest levels of confidence, often people with that in their, on their inside. Some with true confidence doesn't need to, someone with that doesn't need to always be right. They welcome a better idea. People with true confidence, like I said, may be the quietest in the room at times because they don't need to seek the approval of any other human being. They're only following God's approval, which they know they already have, right? That's where true confidence comes from. And here's the thing about true confidence. You can't have it without the security that comes in fearing the Lord, without a good sense of the good sense of God pulsing through your veins, your so-called confidence can be shattered in a moment by a circumstance. If your confidence is based on what you have or what you do or who you think you are, one circumstance can rock it and your confidence is shaken. But when your confidence is built in God and his good sense, even the highest winds can blow and you might be worried what's going to happen a bit, but you've got this deep confidence within. that says God made the wind. God can handle the wind that's coming at me at this moment. My confidence isn't based on my circumstance. It's based on who I know. It's based on who I live with, who I live by. When stock markets crash, you can see some of the most powerful people in the world crying. They're breaking down because their whole world just got rocked. When I was in college, I worked for a business at one point, just part-time for some extra money in college, but I worked there. And one day that we were told that the store was closing completely the next day and everybody was going to be out of a job. Now, I was bothered by that. I was disappointed, but I wasn't really shaken by that at all because it wasn't a job to pay my bills. It was a little extra money, but for those who that was their job, who didn't know how they were going to pay their next month rent or their car payment or whatever was coming up, their confidence at that point, whatever confidence they had was just shaken. And at that moment, their world was falling apart. Even for teenagers who are in a relationship with someone who they are sure is the love of their life, and then that love of their life breaks up to go with somebody else, all of a sudden that teenager's world comes to the screeching halt. They think it's all falling apart. I promise you, the world will start turning again in every circumstance that we have. It will keep turning. Your confidence needs to be in God. Here's the thing. There's a confidence, a real confidence, that comes as a benefit of living with God in his good sense that can sustain you in anything. And this verse tells us that it also has a positive influence on your children, but we'll come back to that in just a bit. Look at Proverbs 3:25-26. It says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes." Notice it doesn't say if it comes. It says when it comes. Those things will come. "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared." The Lord will be your confidence. What a benefit that is, right? What a great benefit. Let's look at the same verse from the New Living Translation. It says it just a little bit differently. Hear how it says this verse. "You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap." In the good sense of God, friends, he's our security. And he brings with us the true confidence. I'm not confident that nothing bad's ever going to happen to me or that I'm never going to die. What I'm confident of in God is that God's going to make my way through. He's the way maker through whatever I go through, and that Jesus is going to greet me when I die. That's where my confidence lies. Benefit number 5 is this. Following good sense provides safety. Now, what do I mean by safety? Do we mean that we can't be harmed? That following God's good sense makes us like the untouchables. We're untouchable all the time. No. It would be outright wrong for me to stand up here and tell you that if you go God's way, that you're never going to face any harm. That would be wrong for me to say. It would be irresponsible for me to tell you that you'll never get sick, you'll never have hard times, you'll never have a crisis, you'll never experience loss or death. That would be wrong for me to say that. That wouldn't represent God and his good sense properly. However, what is true is that if you learn and live the way of God and his good sense, then it brings a safety to your life because of your choices that you begin to make protect you. When you live in God's good sense, your choices bring safety. They protect you. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you're honest, then you have the safety to not be trapped in a lie, right? If you always use fair scales and balances, as Proverbs tells us, then you know you have safety in your business not to have illegal consequences. If you have a strong work ethic, then you have safety from being fired for not performing well. If you follow wise counsel in life, then you're safe from making foolish decisions. If you live with honor, then you're safe from dishonoring your family, your friends, your co-workers, and even your God. If you're never running off to do wrong, then you're safe from jail time, speeding tickets, DUIs, and drug overdoses, and more. Do you understand? There's safety. There's safety in following God's good sense. It's there for us. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Have you ever seen a fortified tower like on TV or in a movie or something? I doubt you've been to a fortified tower. But if you've seen that, if you're living in God's good sense, look at your life as being surrounded by these great walls of protection that keep you from foolish demise. From foolish demise. Benefit number six is this. Following good sense assures God's provision. Friends, I'm not excited to hear what Norm, our finance chair, shared with us last week about our finances are stressed right now. I'm not excited by that. I'd much rather hear him up here saying, hey, we've got so much extra that we're starting all these new avenues of ministry. That's what I would love to hear. But you know what? I'm also not at all worried. I'm not worried that God's stopping providing. I'm not worried about that. My assurance isn't in money. It's in God. Proverbs 10:3 says, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the cravings of the wicked. He's not going to let us go hungry. God already has our provision in hand, and he'll distribute it when and how it's needed when he's ready. We only need to trust him. Look at Proverbs 28:25. The greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. Look at the history of God's people. If you've at all read the stories of the Old Testament or are familiar with what happened in the Old Testament with those stories, look at the story of God's people. When they walked with God, they walked enjoying provision and prospering always. Always when they walked with God. But when they walked ignoring and opposing God, he would honor their choice to oppose him by letting them live without him, by removing his hand, and they would face famine and sickness and other things like that. Now, does that make God mean? God's not mean, but he tells us straight here in his good sense that we'll benefit from. We'll benefit from his good sense. However, if we have every right in that to not follow his good sense, don't we? We have every right to walk away from him, but walking away from him can mean walking away from his provision. And we do that by our own choice. Some parents deal with this with their adult kids. They're your young adult kids who are adulting, becoming adults. And sometimes when kids grow into this adulthood, they get this attitude that says, I no longer need the opinion of my parents or the assistance of my parents any longer. I can make my own decisions, all of them on my own. I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl, so I won't call them, I won't seek their provision. As a young adult, they have the right to do that, don't they? They have the right to ignore what their parents can bring them. They can even make foolish decisions and foolish choices that may lead to difficult returns in their life. When they do this, they lose the benefit of all of their parents' wisdom, their parents' years of experience, their parents' maturity, and in most cases, they eventually come to the place where they realize that their parents have a whole lot more to offer them than they ever thought that they did. Now, for the parent in that situation, that time with their adult kids can... When their kids give them the hand and they ignore their provision and they ignore their counsel, that can be really tough, can it, as the parent? It often comes with a lot of tears and prayers from the parent because the parent sees where their choices may lead them. They see that and they don't want that for them, but if their opinion isn't wanted, they can't do a thing about it. Now hear me, friends. God is our parent. God is our parent. He's our father, and just because his people faced sometimes severe trials when they chose to go against his ways doesn't make him mean. It doesn't mean that God's heart wasn't actually breaking for them in that same process. It's just that he knew that living in the good sense that he had for them to do that had to be their choice, just like it has to be ours. Just like a wandering adult, young adult child who has to make their own choice to experience the benefit that their parents can bring to them. We have to make the choice to experience the benefit that God wants to bring to us by living in his good sense. A benefit of good sense isn't even just that God provides. Here's the thing, it's that he's going to prosper you. God wants to prosper you. Benefit number seven is this. Following good sense steers you to success. Understand that God's heart is always for what's best for you in the matter. He always wants what's best for you. God's heart is to benefit you. His good sense is never to harm you. It's not out there to steal your joy. God is always, always, always about your success. He gives us the wisdom of the Proverbs so that we will experience that success, so that we will succeed. Look at Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Your plans will succeed. Too often, we don't do that though, do we? We don't commit our plans to the Lord. We commit our actions with our plans. We commit them to ourselves or to our spouse or to our parents or to our kids or to our boss or to whoever else's approval we're trying to meet in that moment. And as a result, our plans often fall apart. Good sense is focusing in and committing every action that we make to God. And the benefit to that is successful plans. Am I saying that everything will then just go your way in the way that you would like it to go, that our success will be just as we determine it to be? No, that's back to doing things for ourselves and not for God, for our actions being committed to ourselves. That's not what we're talking about. When our actions are committed to the Lord, all that we do is already about seeking His will and living into His plan for our lives. We're not in it for what we can get out of it. We're in it to bring glory to God. And when we're doing that, our plans always succeed. They may not succeed by us reaching a certain dollar amount or a certain level of achievement or a certain position or a certain placement in our lives. They succeed in us honoring and glorifying God. There's no greater success in the world than that, than to bring glory to God. Benefit number 8 is this. Following good sense will bless your children. Will bless your children. I told you we'd come back to this one. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The godly walk with integrity, blessed are their children who follow them. Wow. Blessed are their children who follow them. Friends, you're not just reaping the benefits of God's good sense on your life, but by following His good sense in your life, you're actually passing that benefit down to your children. Several years ago, I had the privilege to serve in ministry under a pastor, amazing pastor and friend. He was a man of great integrity who loved God, honestly, like nobody else I've ever known in my life, but it wasn't always that way. He had a period of life in college where he wasn't walking with God's good sense at all, essentially walking away from God. But then he came to a place of repentance and asking forgiveness and literally lamenting over his own sins. And the benefit of his parents that they had lived before him from Proverbs 22:26 came true for him. And that verse says this, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That rang true to his life. He became one of the best preachers, one of the best pastors that I've ever known in my life. But here's the greater beauty of the story beyond this friend. You see, his dad was a godly man and a pastor before him, and his mom was a godly mom and woman, and this man and his wife lived in the good sense, the wisdom of God. They had 5 kids, and they watched the benefit of their integrity being reaped into their own children after them. All 5 of them grew to live their lives for God. 2 became pastors as well, and another became a missionary. And then my pastor friend had 5 kids, and when I checked with him recently in the recent months, all 5 of his kids are living for the Lord, reaping the benefit from the good sense living of their parents. So parents in the room, especially parents of children, little children who are still young, walk in God's wisdom and see how you receive that benefit spilling into the life of your own kids. Now understand, our kids still have free will. They have choices themselves. They can still choose to step out of God's benefit that you've been reaping into them. You've been sowing into them. I'm using the wrong word. Sowing into them. They can step out of that. They have that opportunity. They have that choice. But the chances for them to grow with God become exponentially better as parents commit to walk with God. Benefit 9. It's pouring down rain outside. You don't want to leave yet anyway. So benefit 9. Following good sense gives the ability to get up when you fall down. Again, it would be outright irresponsible for me to stand up here and tell you that if you strive to live in the good sense of God, then you're never going to make another mistake. You're never going to fall down in life again, because I assure you that you will. You will make mistakes. You will fall down. But the benefit that we have when we strive for good, God's good sense, is that we have the ability, we have the strength to get back up again. That's the joy, right? That's the benefit. Does anyone remember the bumper sticker that was out for a while, or the phrase that you could see places that said, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven? Anybody heard that before? Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. You know, that's so very true. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're never going to be perfect until maybe when we're standing next to Jesus in heaven someday. The greatest disservice that we can ever bring to an unbelieving world is to act like we are perfect. Many people who don't yet know God don't come to him for two reasons. First, they think they have to be perfect to come to God, because some of the Christians they've known give that persona that perfection is necessary and that they've somehow reached it. Many non-believers look at that and they look at their own lives, and what they think is, there's just no way. There's no way. I can never be perfect, so I can never go to God. I can never go into that church because I'm so far from what God is. The second reason that many don't yet know God, who don't yet know God, don't come to him, is because they already know better about Christians. They already have the number. They know Christians aren't perfect. But they see far too many of them trying to pretend that they are. Look, being a Christian doesn't free you to be perfect. It frees you to be real. It frees you to be real. It frees you to take your falls in life, but to admit the fall and get back up again. That's what it lets you do. When an unbelieving world looks at us, friends, they shouldn't see anything that looks anywhere close to perfection. But instead, they should see what it looks like after we've messed up. That we know how to do the right things after we've blown it, after we've done the wrong things. That when we've done something wrong, we ask for forgiveness. We try to do the thing to make it better. We're getting up again, and we're doing what's right, even though we've failed somewhere and done something that's wrong. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 16. It says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Praise God for the benefit of this good sense, because without it, I'd be on the ground. I could never get up again if I didn't have God to give me the benefit and the power of getting up like that. My favorite Marvel superhero character is Captain America. Now, he's my favorite because of his heart and because of the first movie that Marvel made where it unveils his character. But for me, you know what? He was my favorite before he ever became a superhero. Before he was ever in that place, he was my favorite when he was that scrawny little Steve Rogers who couldn't get in the army. That's when he was my favorite. And the reason why he was my favorite, instant favorite, is because he kept getting knocked down in these scuffles, but when he did, he would say, I can do this all day. And he'd get back up again, right? He'd get back up again for another round. Friends, if you're knocked down right now, get back up again by the power of God, and in his good sense, he's going to lead you. He's going to lead you. We can do this all day. We might get knocked down, but we have God, and we're getting up again. We're getting up again. And finally, benefit number 10 is this. Following good sense promises you life. Look at these couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 21:21 says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life. Righteousness and honor. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. We're talking real life here, friends. Do you know why I want to follow God's good sense that's found in the book of Proverbs? One of the reasons why is because I'm sick and tired of the life that this world offers. I'm sick and tired of the pain, its shortfalls, its unfulfilling promises, its dead-end roads. I'm sick of life, the life this world offers. And so I want to live into the life that God's good sense promises to me. Give up on this world's life and give into the benefits of living God's good sense in your life. As we wrap up this life-giving series this morning, I want to take us back to a very important point that I shared early on in this series. You see, friends, living into the good sense of the Proverbs that God gives us isn't what saves you or me. If I live all these things, all these things we've been talking about all summer, if I can get all this down, if I'm always honest, if I've got a good work ethic, if I'm doing all these things, that doesn't save you. They're not the things that save you and me. You need to understand this. Our salvation isn't merit-driven or merit-based. It's not now or never has been about doing enough or being enough or earning enough of God's favor or approval. It always has been, always will be about Jesus as we celebrate it in communion today as our way maker. It's because Jesus died for you, because Jesus died for me, that we can be forgiven of every sin that we ever have in this life. And he becomes this bridge that takes us away from our sinful self, that separates us from God, and allows us to cross over on his cross to connect to the Father and to have relationship with God. Jesus is the only way, the only way maker, and he provides that for us. Once we have Jesus, then we have the will, we have the power, we have the reason to live into the good sense of these Proverbs. Our lives will be changed and transformed when we practice the life that God's called us to as believers. And so, if you desire the benefits that I've talked about this morning, that we've talked about today, that we've been talking about over the whole summer, you first have to come to Jesus. And I want to pray for you right now with this invitation from God to anyone who maybe you feel like you've not yet invited Jesus into your heart and into your life. If you've not done that, you know, why not do that right now? I say, let's do it, right? Let's do it. Do you want real life? Then why not start with Jesus right now? So I want to lead in a prayer. If you just, everybody would just bow their heads and close their eyes for a moment, and let's pray. God, I see many familiar faces this morning. Couple not so familiar, but many familiar. So I know that there are many people that are here on a regular basis, and they hear us talk about this on a regular basis. They hear me talk about you, Jesus, on a regular basis. They hear me talk about the need to accept Jesus, to be forgiven. I know there are a lot of people here that hear that every week, and I know there are many who've received you. But I also know that I went to church for 18 years of my life hearing all about God and not understanding that Jesus was my bridge. I thought it was about how good I had to be. I would have taken these messages about good sense, and I would have thought, okay, if I start doing this, then I'm going to finally get to God. If I start doing this, then God's going to love me. If I start doing this, then I'm going to be okay. That's how I was raised in my church. Until someone sat down with me and said, you got to have Jesus, because all of those efforts will never be enough. Because without Jesus, you fall down and you don't get back up again. There may be some in this room who've never personally said, Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life today. And if that's you, or if you even have an inkling that that's you, I want to invite you to pray. You don't have to say any exact words that I do, but I'm going to lead you with some leading thoughts that you can pray to God. And just to simply start by saying, Jesus, here I am. I recognize that I can't be good enough. I recognize that I'm nowhere near good enough. Forgive me for all my sins, for all my failures and shortcomings. Come into my life today, Jesus, and help me to start a new life. I accept you today. I surrender to you today. Now, Jesus, lead me into the good sense of a life that brings you glory. and that satisfies my soul. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My friends, if you have accepted Jesus for the first time this morning, I want to give you another invitation. It was an invitation that was supposed to be for today, but now it's an invitation for next week. Although we could baptize you right now if we open this door, it's pouring down out of there. But I invite you to get baptized. It says in Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is with you. He calls us to be baptized. Now, being baptized, it marks your commitment. It doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. But it's just a marking of your commitment. It's an outward expressing of what God's doing inside. And the Bible tells us that we should do it. And so I encourage you, if you accepted Christ today and you've not been baptized, that next week, now you've got a week to pray about it and talk to me about it if you would like to, that you would consider then coming and being baptized next Sunday afternoon. We would love to have you a part of that time. Now, I want to give you guys a secret. This was going to be for today, and now it's again for next week. But next week when we do baptisms, right now we have two people that are reaffirming baptisms. They've already been baptized as an infant or child, but they want to reaffirm that for themselves. I want to tell you a secret. One of them's me. How many times do you get to come see your pastor be baptized? I was baptized as an infant, and I came to Christ at age 18. And all my life since then, off and on, I would wonder, gosh, is this something I should do? I'm told by religious leaders that an infant baptism has me covered, and that's fine. I don't have to be baptized to be saved. I believe something was going on there. God was present. But I want to reaffirm that in my own decision. I want to stand before God in front of my church family with others who do this and know that I've done this by my conscious choice as well. And so next Sunday, I'm one of the people being reaffirmed, and maybe that's what God wants to place on your heart. I believe now that, and especially hearing it, that God gave us a rain delay on purpose, because some of us have to contemplate what God might be calling us to do. I'm not saying you don't keep getting rebaptized. You don't have to keep coming and getting baptized again to turn yourself back to God. That's not what we're talking about. But if maybe you were baptized as an infant or a child and you want to just reaffirm that, you want to make that real for yourself, talk to me this week or show up next Sunday afternoon and let's do it together. And I hope that the whole family is there to celebrate what God's doing. And here's what I also believe. I believe if we make this kind of a recommitment to God, that we might see revival break out among us. A making of commitment before God. God, I'm dying to myself. I'm being raised in you. We might be surprised what we see happens. We stand and sing together as we close. Nobody's in a hurry to run out in the rain, so let's sing together and worship God. Friends, let's go in the name of Jesus into the living hope of Jesus and live into his good sense that brings great benefit and promise to our life. God bless y'all. See you next week. Talk to me if you need to about baptism next week. I'm happy to do that. Bless you.